Join us for Catholic Night at Honda Center, February 9th, as we watch the Ducks take on the Edmonton Oilers at 7 p.m. And join our Catholic Trinity League schools as they play a special exhibition immediately following the Ducks game. Your ticket will include access to the special game as well. Don't miss the Modern Day High School Choir perform the national anthem along with Don Wright. The first 500 tickets purchased through this special offer will come with a limited edition Anaheim Ducks Catholic Night hat. To purchase tickets, call 714-282-3045 or visit anaheimducks.com/Catholic Night. Chart-topping worship vocalist Matt Maher will perform at Christ Cathedral on February 10th as part of his Echoes of Worship tour. Don't miss Matt Maher performing at one of the most incredible, beautiful, and inspiring locations in the country, Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Get your tickets today at transparentproductions.com. That's transparentproductions.com. Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today are some very good friends of mine who are coming to us from St. Joseph Radio, Sheila Bein-Gessner and the head of St. Joseph Radio, Lou Cortese. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Rick.
And before we get started, I'd like to ask for a brief word of prayer. Lou, would you mind leading us in a brief word of prayer?
Well, I rely heavily on the Holy Spirit, so let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
And Our Lady of Good Counsel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And again, I want to make sure that everyone knows who we're talking to here. Lou Cortese, you have been in the radio ministry, I almost said radio business, but it really isn't, the radio ministry for, we're in our fourth decade with this.
35 years.
And
where has the time gone?
And that all began right here in the Diocese of Orange 35 years ago.
Yes.
Now, the headquarters of St. Joseph Radio today are in St. Louis, Missouri. And you moved the headquarters there. It's got to be about 10 years now.
It's been about 12, 13 years now.
Okay. So we still have a presence in multiple areas of the country, including Southern California, but the primary production is being done now in St. Louis.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Now, you spent a number of years out here, though. We had a radio program that was put on out here. It was carried coast-to-coast on EWTN. This was back when Mother and
we
John
were,
was just
right.
starting out.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little bit about the good old days.
The humble beginnings. Oh, my goodness. How we began, I remember a good friend of mine introducing me to Christian radio. And I would hear these people on the radio broadcast telling me what I believed as a Catholic. and I remember one day calling a network and saying, no, that's not what we believe. And they said, I'm sorry, that's all we want to say about Catholicism. And he hung up on me.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, why?
Not exactly.
You know, it just sent me back a bit. And so then I decided, well, you know, someday we have to have our own network. And a friend launched it, but his dad was dying, and he couldn't continue it, so he turned it over to me. Now, we started as a retreat association because I needed all the prayers I can get. And so we then launched St. Joseph Radio, and it was hilarious. It was all cassettes and working on volunteers. And to this day, we're a volunteer ministry. We are taking many different paths now. Thanks be to God, and I never know where we're going from moment to moment, but God's in control. When we began, we were purchasing airtime, And I remember we were on daily in Los Angeles at noon, where we purchased airtime from these same Protestant stations. And then we would purchase live airtime from a network in Long Beach 2 hours a week, and again, a Protestant network. Eventually, as we sounded too Catholic, they then bumped us. So we were moving around a lot because they were not interested in what we believed as Catholics. And, you know, our thinking is, you know, you don't have to agree with us, but please quote us accurately. And it wasn't happening. But God had plans, and so the rest is history. We then, as we are producing programming, EWTN entered the market of radio production, and it was a shortwave broadcast. And we were on with them three times a day.
I remember when I first got involved with you, and I'll do some disclosure in just a minute of my own, but talking to you about the earlier days, Mother Angelica had not been involved with that ministry in radio for very long when you met her. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was just, I was overwhelmed. Because now all I wanted to do was be a wife and mother of 10 children.
That's all you wanted to do.
And I ended up with two children and a radio. And I thought, really, Lord, you know, you're not hearing. You don't understand. And he was just laughing and saying, do the work. And, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're the problem. So I just proceeded ahead and letting God be God. But Mother, they had heard about our broadcast because they were just launching their shortwave radio, and I think it's been 25 years for their shortwave radio, their radio broadcast. So that's when we were invited. And at that time, what we were doing, we were recording and sponsoring events at parishes and recording speakers and missions at different parishes because our intent was to evangelize the Catholic in the pew, help us to get excited about Catholicism. And the best way to do that was to bring an eloquent speaker into the parish, make it convenient, and we would record these speakers. By the time we were invited onto EWTN, we had hundreds of pre-recorded segments on cassette. I'm dating myself, and we had to format these cassettes into 55-minute segments, which is what we did, and it was just hilarious. We would have an editor in one part of the state and a radio host in another, a 60-mile radius where we're all trying to connect with a daily broadcast. But we survived in spite of us.
How long before you were able to get the site back at what is now the Les Dunnick Center, where you had, there was it was two stories, and the upper floor had the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
How long before you got that studio?
Not knowing where we were going, we launched it from my home. So I was having all these volunteers coming to my house, and we're basically learning about radio production. Finally, we moved to one location. I think it was Tustin area, and we were in a one-room building, and it was not the safest area where we were. And I remember one day sitting at my desk and the SWAT teams outside telling me not to move from my desk. Well, needless to say, I wasn't able to get volunteers because of the location. But that was okay. We just prayed a lot. And then before you know it, Les Dunnick Clinic had some space available to us, and they offered it. And so we launched our main office in Orange at the Les Dunnick Clinic, and we were there for, well, until recently, so 25 years or so.
A couple of decades. Downstairs you had a production facility and a bookstore.
Exactly.
And then upstairs some office space and the studio.
Uh-huh.
And the studio had, I remember inside you had foam in order to keep the sound down. Because it was the street, there were still noises in the background, and it was an interesting setup.
It was, but we interviewed so many wonderful people.
You did.
You know, I mean, we had the giants in the Catholic Church, and they would come, and of course, Rick, you were a part of that, and our beloved Jim Govanali here that was also a part of our ministry. So,
yeah, people can't see inside the studio right now, but around us there are four people here. We're talking, of course, to Lou Cortese, who is the head of St. Joseph Radio. Sheila Weingastner, who's been very quiet, but we're going to come to you in just a couple of minutes, Sheila.
Thank you.
Who's been involved also from just about the beginning of St. Joseph Radio. But our technical director up here is Jim Govanali, and he's kind of been silent most of the time in the background here. But
I'm mostly silent, Rick. But I just sit here and record you.
I never met Jim for the first couple of years I was involved there, but I heard his voice every single time we started the radio show because Jim, as I recall, you were the voice of St. Joseph Radio as the introduction to all of their programming. You had the recording down.
That's right. Yeah, way back in the day, early mm-hmm. on, probably, oh gosh, around 1990, 91, something like that, I mm-hmm. recorded the intro to the show, and mm-hmm. and I think that you guys ran with that for quite some time.
Many years.
So I converted over to Catholic faith in the mid-1990s, and then was introduced to Lou in 1997, okay. and she invited me to come over to give a presentation to your Friday group. She didn't trust me on the area. She didn't know me. But there was supposed to be an hour's presentation. And being the good Presbyterian that I used to be, I wrote out the presentation. And she tolerated it very nicely, but it was
a big
horrible.
Hit, right?
It was a 1 hour sermon, and it was absolutely awful. What saved me was the question and answer period afterwards, where I actually could interact with people,
yeah.
and I actually had a personality. What do you know?
Oh, it was wonderful.
So we were able to. I got on the air a little bit and did some hosting, but that was all the way back in 1997, and I had the privilege of being able to do some speaking,
mm-hmm.
and we went to some exotic places like Fargo and Billings, Montana. And
well, and then we
Saskatchewan. And these are wonderful places, but. We did go to the Caribbean.
I was just going to say, we were, as time was going on, priests and bishops were hearing about our ministry, our evangelization ministry, and they would call us and say, we'd like you to help us with evangelization. So we found ourselves traveling to Antigua, St. Lucia, different places in the West Indies. Matter of fact, I have to tell you this story. When I was in St. Lucia with Rosalind Moss, we would bring Rick and Rosalind Moss, and I'm at the airport now. Rosalind Moss left the island 2 days before I did, and the island was inundated with Baptist ministers, Baptists everywhere. They were evangelizing the island. Now, this island had maybe 3-5% Catholic, which is why the bishop invited us to be there. Well, Rosalind left, and I left 2 days later, and I'm at the airport on a Saturday with all these Baptists, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to God and saying, really, God, really? What do you want me to do? My apologist just left. Where am I going with this? Who are you going to place in my life at this moment? And I went into the store at the airport, and I heard a familiar voice. Now, this was St. Lucia. We're at the airport in St. Lucia, and I'm hearing this familiar voice, and I'm thinking, who is that? St. Joseph Radio was being piped in at the airport where we got the Bible. And I just laughed, and I said, boy, you're good. You know, and I just sat there smiling because everyone was hearing our radio broadcast where we got the Bible. So another lesson learned.
That was
where
Clayton Bowers, I recall.
It was. And it was another lesson learned that, you know what, it's not about us. And God can do all things in spite of us.
Well, and that's really been the theme behind St. Joseph Radio. This is a lay apostolate. God works through all of his people, including the laity. The priests are extremely important, but so too are all of us who are in the pews. And there's a lot that can be done, and indeed a lot that has been done. When we come back, I want to make sure that we've had a chance to bring Sheila into this, because Sheila has been involved for a long time with a very special project that's been done called Catholic Man of the Year. And we have had you on before, Sheila, to talk about it. I want to talk about it this time about what's going on this year, but in the context of the overall mission of St. Joseph Radio as well. I have had the privilege of working with all of you for a number of years now, and it's never ceased to impress me about how important this particular event is. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope from Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today are two guests who are from St. Joseph Radio. Lou Cortese, who we've been talking to a little bit about the past of St. Joseph Radio. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more, a little bit later on, about where St. Joseph Radio is going, because that's exciting too. But we also have here Sheila Beingessner. We've had Sheila, we've had you on a couple of times over the last year or two, and it's always been in context of Catholic Man of the Year. And this has proven to be a very important event in our diocese. This is an event that takes place in conjunction with the Diocese of Orange, and we've had the involvement over the years of a number of different people from the diocese, including our bishops. And
Crisio, last year Crisio joined us.
And there's a number of people that are put forward. Why are these men being thought of? Why are they being brought forward? What's Catholic Man of the Year all about?
Okay, let's kind of just start and why kind of we started it. Our society was starting to kind of criticize men, I think, a little bit, and play down men in general. I mean, there's a lot of programs that did a lot of funny jokes and laughs, and, you know, that's cute. But men, really, as the head of the household and as responsible for defending the church, they're very important. So we thought, gee, that's St. Joseph's role. We need to honor men who have that spirit of St. Joseph, protector of the family, defender of the church, you know, and St. Joseph the worker, too, that he worked to support his family. So that was kind of where we took off and went. Finding men within our community that had personal stories, because also we discovered that one of the best ways to evangelize is through personal witness stories of how God works in your life and what got you interested in defending and being in part of the church in general.
There's one other aspect of St. Joseph that also comes out, and I think this has to figure into where you go with this. St. Joseph, for all of what he does in Scripture, is silent.
Yes.
And doesn't draw attention to himself.
But a man, a righteous man, who has virtue and character.
Yes.
You know.
So tell us a little bit, then, about what this Catholic Man of the Year project has been all about.
Okay, so we had to figure out a way, how do we honor these men? And so we sent out to the parishes and to organizations, Catholic organizations, to nominate a man who they thought showed those signs, the spirit of St. Joseph and the qualities of virtue, character, and loyalty. So that's how we started out getting our men. But the fruit of it, I think, is overwhelming because we not only are honoring these men, but we're honoring the Holy Spirit and how He works in our lives. I think we mentioned that, and that was a beautiful prayer to open our program, because that's how God is going to be able to touch people's lives, is we're the hands and feet of God right now. So He has to inspire people to be involved. Now, the Catholic Church, as a convert myself, the first Man of the Year I went to, I was overwhelmed with how many organizations, Catholic organizations, there are out there that are involved within the community to help people, not just help Catholics, to help people in general, help the poor, the sick, maybe the separated mother from a child, you know, trying to get that the right to life and the dignity, helping the older people. And I thought, wow, I was just really flabbergasted. I thought, I can't believe it. And then to hear the men get up with their stories of how they got involved and what they did, and all of these men were busy men who worked and had their own family, still loved their family, but found time to support their parish and their church and their community through the organizations and involvement in their parish. So this just seemed like a perfect way to honor them, Now, a lot of times we have a hard time convincing them because these men don't want to be honored. They're just doing it because they love the church and love, you know, to help. And that's true. But we try to tell them, but this is a service to God because we're showing others how the Holy Spirit works in you and how he nudged you to get involved. And that helps them to accept that voice of the Holy Spirit nudging them. They go, oh, yeah, that's sort of like Mr. So-and-so, you know, at our parish. He kind of got nudged that way, too, to kind of get involved. So it's really kind of a good thing for the parish to highlight these men because they are allowing their parishioners to see, hey, he's just one of us. I see him on Sunday, every Sunday. But I never realized he was involved in this, this, and this, and that he did all of this. So sometimes the hidden figure, like you said, the silent figure, they're not somebody who goes out and boasts about what they do.
Who does the nominating in this process? How does that work?
Well, we ask, hopefully we would love each parish too, but it doesn't have to be a pastor. That's a lot of responsibility. So sometimes it can be a deacon. Sometimes it can be maybe someone from the Catholic Federation or the
there's the Catholic Worker.
Not the Catholic Worker, yeah.
Knights of Columbus.
I'm still thinking of it. It's not Catholic.
St. Vincent de Paul. I mean, any group that's out there, men serving
Italian.
The church.
Okay, so any parish could nominate someone from their parish.
Yes.
And any Catholic organization that is affiliated somehow with the Diocese of Orange.
Yes, they need to have their pastor. You have to have your pastor's approval and signature that he is an active member of his parish.
Okay.
So that we know that he's, you know, not just off on his own doing whatever. He's a part of the community. We want that.
So these nominees are from their individual local either parishes or Catholic organization. So these are being nominated by local communities, local groups within the broader community of the Diocese of Orange.
Mm-hmm. And this is our 14th year. And what's interesting, I remember a gentleman calling me, and he said, Lou, and when I met him, he told me that he was about to retire. Now, this was 14 years ago. I think he was nominated 12 years ago. And he was about to, he wanted to retire from his work at the parish. He said, I'm so weary. I'm just tired. I need to slow down. He then was nominated, and he won Man of the Year for that year. And last year I get a call from him and he just said, Lou, I just want to remind you that I was the one that wasn't going to work for the church any longer. But 14 years later, I'm retired and I'm working full time for the church. And it was the encouragement of that nomination that inspired him to continue. So any man that's nominated, all it's doing is inspiring them to continue to serve Almighty God and his church. And, you know, it's difficult to get them to say yes, but they need to understand it's not about them. It's about their service. And also at these events, I remember a young man who his dad was nominated, and I said, did you enjoy the evening? And he said, it was wonderful. I said, what did you think? He says, well, I realized I didn't know what my dad was doing. He says, and I realized I'm not doing enough.
Wow.
So it was the inspiration of the event that was assisting the men in their mission and encouraging others to follow.
So you've got these individuals who are nominated, but also you've got an event that takes place, and then it's in this event somehow people find out more information. So what's the rest of the process? What else happens here? Because we talk about the Catholic Man of the Year, not just the Catholic Men of the Year. Even though you've got all these different men that are nominated and brought in as Catholic Men of the Year, how does the rest of this work?
Well, we are trying to focus on the fact that each person who was nominated from their parish for our event are the Catholic men for that parish, that organization. And so they do have that glory. On the diocesan level, we do round up all these Men of the Year, and we pick one to represent the diocese. They're all very worthy men, so it's not easy to pick one out of there, but one usually climbs to the top.
But they're all recognized.
They're all recognized, and we really encourage each parish and each organization to make a big to-do of that in their parish or in their organization, because it, like Lou said, it touches other people's lives when they hear this and they hear the stories. Because every one of these men have a story of how and why they did get involved and why they stay involved.
So their story is put forward to a committee?
Yes. Well, we have some judges. We have about 13 to 14 people that judge from the applications which one they think will be worthy to represent
the diocese. But the individual's name and parish is not listed anywhere in the process of judging.
All personal information is crossed out.
All personal information, and it's on a numbering system.
So it's done as blindly as can be done.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And without, so that you don't say, oh, I know that man, and that's who I want.
So you've got a committee that looks at, so there's bios that are done, biographies are done, mm-hmm. And so these poor humble men, they have to tell a little bit about what their background is in order for people to report that up. Mm-hmm.
But what we do, Rick, we tell them, we give them a few questions to answer as to why they do what they do, and it gives us a hint of their spirit. You know, maybe that's something that their mother or their grandfather, you know, inspired them to keep going or whatever. And so it's you get your history, but only vaguely. Another part is the sponsor writes a page or a paragraph as to what they saw in that person and what made them nominate them. What from the outside knowing this person, what motivated them to say, you know, this is a guy who does a lot of unselfish stuff for the church.
And we've seen these men. The evening is a very nice evening, very nice meal. And I've seen the men in tears just with the acknowledgement.
When is the culminating event? What is the culminating event? You've talked about this evening. Yeah. What evening is this?
Well, we try to make it as close to the Feast of St. Joseph, which is March 19th. But so it's right around there. It's kind of hard. We got to juggle with St. Patrick and St. Joseph, and the Catholic Federation has a lot to do with St. Joseph, so there's a lot of different, the Italian, I so say it's, Catholic, but it's Italian. But anyway, we try to make it close to that
and this
celebration.
Year it's March 24th.
So this year it's March 24th. It's going to be held where?
At the Wyndham Hotel in Garden Grove.
Okay, the Wyndham Hotel in Garden Grove, and no one can go except those who are invited.
No.
Anyone can go.
You can even get tickets that evening if you wish, but it's better to get.
But go to the website.
Yeah.
There is a cost for the dinner, but to just go and cheer on,
yes.
You could go and just stand in the back and cheer on and clap and make sure that everyone knows that they're well-received and well-respected.
Yes. The men are recognized, and we invite everyone to participate. And if anyone out in the Los Angeles area would like to sponsor an event, we'll be happy to work with them as well, because we're going to recognize men wherever we can as the leaders of the church, someone that can inspire us, not just, you know, the men are inspiring us women as well. So we're grateful to that, and we launched it in California, in Missouri as well. And our Man of the Year in Missouri is following St. Joseph the Worker, which is May 1st. So our event in St. Louis is May 6th. And we have our event on a Sunday. And this is our third Man of the Year in St. Louis, and very, very well received.
So when we come back, I want to hear a couple of stories. I want to hear about a couple of the men that have been honored. We've had the privilege of having the last couple on the air shortly after they received their recognition. So, Sheila, I want to make sure that you've had a chance to talk about that. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and we will be right back.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, through the good offices of Relevant Radio. And with me today are two people from St. Joseph Radio. Actually, there's four of us in the room here who've been involved with St. Joseph Radio. Our technical director has been involved. In fact, I think I mentioned this before. When I was involved, the voice that was at the beginning and at the end of all the shows was Jim Governale, who is our technical director. And surrounding me were always either Lou, who's usually giving me notes about not talking too fast or not going over anyone's head on anything. And then Sheila was often down helping to make sure that things went well with the phones or make sure that we all had what we needed. You two ladies have been involved with St. Joseph Radio for quite some time. And we're talking today specifically, mostly, about Catholic Man of the Year. And we had the opportunity to talk this last segment about the process that was involved and how we've gone about selecting Men of the Year. And we've got the event coming up not that long from now at the Wyndham. And I want to come back to it and make sure when we get to our last section that if anyone wants to be involved, that they know how to get involved with that. But I'd like to hear a little bit more. I've had the privilege of interviewing a couple of the men. The one who stands out most for me is Dr. Bill Sayers. And he's been involved in not only the Catholic Church in Southern Orange County and Central Orange County, but he's a pediatrician and a world-renowned pediatrician who has dealt with behavioral development with children on multiple levels, but he's also been in different countries helping out children that could otherwise not afford to have good health care. I mean, this is a saintly man, and he would never want to say that, but this is a saintly man who's been involved with his Catholic faith in the Diocese of Orange for many, many years.
And I would definitely agree with that, Rick. I even knew Dr. Sayers before I was Catholic, because my daughter always would recommend his book on childhood rearing. Dr. Sayers, he and his wife Martha, they work together, and it was the most excellent book on child rearing, and it had a basic Christian attitude about everything, and I really loved it. And I remember when I found out, because there was part of Dr. Sayers's life, even though he was very devout and raised by a wonderful grandmother who kept him in the faith very much, there were years in the middle there that he was away from the faith. And
well, there, but
was,
by the grace of God, go I.
He was very active, though, still very active with Christ through evangelical churches. And when he rediscovered his Catholic faith, I was so excited. I had to call my daughter the first thing I found out. And it was so wonderful. And I had a chance to talk with Dr. Sayers. And I was just amazed, like you, of how involved he still is with health issues. But all, you know, the dignity of life with Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. and eating properly, still with, you know, his pediatrician work. And his son now works in his office with him, one of his sons.
And he's just one of many.
Oh, he's just.
You know, their background, the time it takes them to serve the church, it's amazing. The tireless effort that they put in every day on behalf of the church. You know, those the changers, you know, collecting money at the church, working for St. Vincent de Paul, helping the poor, feeding the poor.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping, I'm praying, I'm trying to work out a book, Men on a Mission, and we've had over 100 men nominated, and they all have a story to tell. So in time, we hope to have this book written where we can introduce all these men to the country.
That would be fantastic.
Men on a Mission, yeah. is what the title of the book will be. And I'm looking for volunteers, so anyone that wants to help, by all means, please give us a call.
I want to put you on the spot, okay. Then, since you've got all these stories between the two of you about some of these men. I know that you could choose all of them or any one of them.
Yes.
So let's focus in.
And it's interesting that you chose Dr. Sears because he is such a noted throughout the world. He's gone all over the world to promote the Christian way of life. And then there's also the silent man, like we talked about with St. Joseph, just within, because it depends on how God calls you. And I got a phone call last year from a man who wanted to nominate the leader of his group, which was a group of parents who got together who had autistic children. And I listened to him talk about this man, and I said, he is definitely a St. Joseph man. Even the man I was talking to, I could hear him, hit the qualities of him coming out. But they were just a group of parents. And he started because he had an autistic child, this man. Lewis was his name. And he said he found it very difficult to know where to go to get help, where to go to get his child, helped instruct his child to get baptized, communion, and confirmation as they got older, because he couldn't be in a regular classroom. And he just, through trial and error, found out all this and had his name open and gave it to different parishes or different people to say, if you have an autistic child, this man is available to help you. And his group just grew of people, parents that didn't know what to do.
Wow.
So it was very amazing. So I remember distinctly because they wanted it, but they wanted to nominate him, and they could round up the money to pay for his dinner, but that's all they could do. And I took it upon myself as a personal thing. I'm going to find someone to sponsor a table for them. The other people, parents in that group, need to be there present when he gets honored, because they know exactly who this man was.
Wow.
And it was just a delight. I did find a gentleman who very generously wanted to purchase a table for them so they could invite people in their group. And that's kind of how it works. God will you nominate the man. If he's not from a particular parish that knows a lot about him and that would like to come in, but he was involved with just a small group that absolutely owed their life. And each one of them had their own stories when I listened to some of them, because they all brought their autistic children. They were adult children, but they brought them. And it was amazing to see. And that's all this gentleman wanted, who nominated him, was to honor this man. And they were so delighted. They were so appreciative of having a chance to honor this man.
So generally then at the dinner, you would have the organization, often a parish, but sometimes a Catholic organization, sponsor a table or come together collectively,
yes.
Get a table. But you don't have to.
No, usually people that know the person want to come and witness. You know, if he was in an organization, he would say, I'm going to be honored if you'd like to come. They give him an invitation, and if they'd like to come, they do.
When you're nominated, you're not required to purchase a table. You know, maybe you just want four members of your parish to recognize this man. So we're pretty flexible. The most important thing is that this man is honored properly, and the parish is showing the gratitude.
What does it cost for a seat at the table?
An adult seat is $100.
Okay.
And most of it pays for the meal itself, but it also covers the cost. We give these men trophies. Each of them get a crystal trophy and a certificate that's signed by the bishop. So we really try to spoil them and have them get something as a remembrance. Yeah.
Yes, and it's not a chicken dinner. It's a very
I hope at the
special
wind time
evening.
It wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's a very special evening, and,
yes.
And we're not cutting corners when it comes to the expense, because these men are worth it. Yes. So we just pray that, you know, all we want to do is break even, because these men deserve recognition, and we didn't want a potluck dinner. They deserve more than that. And so we went out on a limb, and that's what we do.
Who else has been involved? What other men have impressed you, Sheila?
Well, we have a lawyer that... Greg,
Greg Weiler.
He's very, very generous, but he also, some of the things that he does outside, he went to Jamaica to be with another priest that serves the poor, because he wanted to witness and to be with the street people, you know, that just like a mother, it's like a mother, Teresa, but he's a man.
Right.
He's a priest.
Right.
And he's a singing priest. He sings a lot, too. He's really a nice, happy man. But So Greg went down there and wanted to just help out, but you actually get involved with doing everything, just like Mother Teresa would put you to work. And
he's
then
involved.
with Right to Life, he gets in, got involved with Birth Choice, which is now Aubria.
X-ray machines.
Aubria. And he, you know, buys ultrasound machines for them so that the women can see their babies.
I
mean, it's just amazing. His philosophy was God put him in a position where he did have the finances. He had the money that he could donate, and he did. I mean, I'm sure that he could find other ways to donate his money. A lot of rich people live in nice homes and, you know, whatever, but he always finds enough to give and be generous to others.
I know that he's also been involved in the Thomas More Society. Mm-hmm. Which is
the judges Catholic, and lawyers that...
Catholic Lawyers Society for Orange County.
Yeah. And he rallies others to participate as well.
And as I recall, another project he'd gotten involved with was bringing pumps and wells to get fresh water in places like Africa.
Yes.
Where by having these put in there, it makes a dramatic change to the quality of life for a whole village.
Yes. So there's all kinds of men. God takes you where you are. You bloom where you're planted. And sometimes you don't understand. I know that Lewis's personal story was like just accepting the whole situation of having an autistic child. You know, that's a big burden. But he's grown through that experience to realize how God worked in his heart to get him excited about his faith, excited about, you know, working with... He's just on fire for the Lord. And it was through that child that got him involved. So God works in mysterious ways.
How does your committee ever get through all these stories without 10 boxes of Kleenex apiece?
I am telling you, the judges, when I have to oversee them, I do have a Kleenex box at both ends of the table because some of them are tearjerkers and they have to put it down for a minute and just digest it because I make them read everything first before they even start judging. Read them all because you have to know the comparison of the field that you're working with, because they're all such great. How do you decide? Because these men are just absolutely, they've gone through hard times. We've had the Dismiss Society, which works with prisoners. And a lot of these people have been recovering addicts. And what they do, I mean, it would blow some other businessman away what this person has done. You would have given up on them. And because they have changed their life around and what they've done with the gift that God gave them.
Wow.
It's absolutely, they are tearjerkers.
And this event has been going on for how long in the Diocese of Orange?
14 years. This is our 14th year.
Roughly how many people are usually nominated over the years each year?
You know, roughly. Averaging 25.
About 25? So you're talking about 200, 250 people that are going to show up at this event, and they're all honoring these men. What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful event.
Yeah.
In case someone hasn't done it lately, thank you, ladies, for making sure this has happened in the Diocese of Orange. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Sheila Beingessner and Luke Cortese from St. Joseph Radio. We've been talking about Catholic Man of the Year, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about where St. Joseph Radio is and where it's going. And we will be right back.
Academic rigor and excellence are at the heart of private Catholic education. In 2016, 8 Diocese of Orange schools were awarded the highest U.S. Department of Education distinction through the No Child Left Behind Act Blue Ribbon School Program. The program honors public and private K-12 schools that are academically superior in their states or demonstrate dramatic gains in student achievement. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. And today we are talking with Lou Cortese, who is the head of St. Joseph Radio, and Sheila Beingessner, who's been involved with it for almost as long. Sheila, you came along not that long after Lou got involved.
I was in the 80s. I was in the 80s.
I got involved in the 90s, and you were already there. So.
Yeah.
But you were a young child then, so.
But I only was converted in 78.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And we've been talking not only about St. Joseph Radio in general, but Catholic Man of the Year, and what a great opportunity this is for the Diocese of Orange to have their parishes and their organizations put forward some of the exemplary men that they've got working for them to be honored. And it has been a great service to be able to do. It's been a way to rally people, to encourage people, so that men, and especially right now, and we haven't gone into any detail, and this program at other occasions we've had people on talking about some of the issues that have gone on lately with men. It's not easy. As a man, I can tell you, it's not easy right now being a man. There's so much that's out there flying over our heads and sometimes being shot right at us. To have something like this where the genuinely good nature of a man is being celebrated, when it is genuinely good, mm-hmm. is so rare right now, I think, in our society. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly it's something that I think is very much needed. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for bringing that to the Diocese of Orange.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Lou, while I have you here, we've been talking a little bit about all of our backgrounds in working with St. Joseph Radio. You're no longer living in Orange. You live in St. Louis. And I've had the privilege of being down there to the place there. It's much larger than the studio was here in Orange. And you've got a lot more things that are going on there. What's going on with St. Joseph Radio these days?
You know, it was funny. I moved to St. Louis because my son lived there, and I can serve the church, but I need to be connected with my family. And it turns out my son today has 12 children and one in heaven, and I have two sons. I never did get my 10 children, but I have 18 grandchildren out of two sons. So talk about a blessing. And that's what drives me. You know, we need to change the world for our children and our grandchildren. And the only way we can change the world is by bringing God to the world and helping all of us with that conversion of heart. But when I went to St. Louis, it was interesting because I arrived there and I kept volunteering, wanting to volunteer at parishes, and they'd say, no, it's okay, we're all set. You know, it's a very nice diocese. They're very well equipped with many, many volunteers. So I thought, well, this must be God's way of telling me I can retire. And so I'm thinking, okay, it's time. I'll retire. I accept this, Lord, and thank you very much for allowing me to serve you. And we had still Orange County in operation, so I thought, well, that's okay. Anyway, someone found out that I was with St. Joseph Radio, and before you know it, I was like this one-woman show again where they asked us to record events and to sponsor events at the parishes, and that just developed. And I got to the point where I thought, no, this is starting St. Joseph Radio all over, and I need volunteers. And so we ended up moving into a little office, and I was able to develop more volunteers. It was like our humble beginnings. And I decided to put an ad in a bulletin at one of the largest parishes in St. Louis, at St. Joseph's. And a gentleman responded, 'cause we were seeking help. Well, he retired from the Fox Channel. He had 45 years of TV production. And he said, what can I do to help? So basically, he came to help. He saw where we were. And he said, I'll build you a studio. So he built us a radio studio.
Oh, wow.
And he got real excited. He says, you know, Lou, I think, you know, the good Lord, these were his words, the good Lord told me we need to develop a TV network. And I'm thinking, really? And every time he said the good Lord said, he would bring an axe and knock walls down. And so he built a TV studio. So we have our television studio, and he got all this equipment donated from this major network. And I'm thinking, really, God? You know, I'm supposed to retire, and now we're in the TV business. I remember in St. Louis telling someone, you know, I always wanted, and I don't know, Jim, if you recall this, I always wanted a coffee shop. St. Joe's Java, your heavenly blend.
I always wanted it. Well, in St. Louis,
I love the Lazarus blood, which resurrects you in the morning.
You know, we evangelize wherever we can, and like you said, one of the blends is the Lazarus blend that'll pick you up in the morning. And so we created our coffee blend, and how that happened, I mentioned to someone, I'd sure like our own coffee shop. He said, "Well, you know, this room next door is vacant. Why don't we rent it?" Again, knock down the wall, and we have our coffee shop, and then we end up with the TV studio. And
so you walk into this place, this little tiny corner in the corner of, so it looks like this just a small innocuous little thing, but it's the corner, so it comes out in a big triangle. So you walk in, and after the lobby, to the right is a bookstore, to the center is the coffee shop with a hall which goes mysteriously down to the right, and then you've got the window here to the radio studio, and you can see who's recording what on the radio. And if you go down that hall, you've got this big television studio down there.
Television with a green screen and a stage and all. And this year, and I never thought our wonderful Archbishop Carlson would say yes, but we asked him for a chapel. And he gave us, we have the Blessed Sacrament, and we have our own St. Joseph Chapel.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a pleasure serving the church. And I look at our ministry as universal. You know, we're not here physically in St. Louis, but we're all over the world.
What kinds of projects are you involved with? We were looking earlier, and people, of course, on radio can't see what we're looking at, but you were talking about, you were showing me a video you were doing.
You know, we were producing video for the past 7 years, and we had no idea what we were going to do with it. Now, we had very high-quality video being produced because we had these men, this gentleman that retired from the major network brought his friends. So we would produce video. We had no idea. And the men were kind of getting a little frustrated. "Lou, what are we going to do with this?" I said, "I don't know. God has something planned, and we're the last to know." And we would have all this talent coming from the Archdiocese. Anyway, last year in January, this other gentleman that retired from this network works for us. He said, "I have an idea." So we launched Crederé Academy. That's C-R-E-D-R-E Academy. They can go to CrederéAcademy.com. So all this material that we produced is now on a site called Crederé Academy. And we have some very articulate speakers there, you know, professors from the seminary. Mm-hmm. They have been all at our disposal. And one of the priests asked me, "Lou, I need you to come and talk to department heads at the diocese. We need to talk to the archbishop, the diocesan department's head, so that we can let them know what Crederé Academy is all about." And I said, "Okay." Well, at that meeting, that was January, at that meeting, one of the communication directors said to me, "Are you going into TV?" And I said, "Oh, no. We're not going into TV. It's just too much work." Well, a few weeks after launching Crederé Academy, we got an invitation to have our own Roku channel.
Oh, wow.
So we have our own Roku channel, and that is SJEN.TV.
Say that again.
SJEN.TV. That's St. Joseph Evangelization Network. And we changed our corporate name to St. Joseph Evangelization Network-St. Joseph Radio. Because we're no longer a radio, we're a ministry of a network of service.
The technology keeps moving along, though I do like radio.
And well, you know what's wonderful too is the Crederé Academy. People can go there, and we're working on study guides. But we just animated. People have to go and see it. We just animated. A friend of mine, she wrote something on the books of the Bible, and we created Sister Connie. So we're creating items. We have priests that we're animating them so that they're teaching the children. So we have great material. And then we're going to be producing on behalf of the Archdiocese for Paul VI Institute. We're going to be recording their online education.
Oh, good.
On behalf of the Archdiocese. And so we work very closely with the Archdiocese. We're producing video on a regular basis. And the talented people are amazing, what's coming out from the seminary, that are helping us educate others. And we all work together, so I hope that our SJEN.TV listeners, please visit the site, tell your friend. Our message is awesome, and we need to share it so that we can, our motto has become, you know, join us as we change the world one soul at a time. And that's what it's about.
I love it. Sheila, you've been involved with this for a long time, but you're out here in California, and you're involved with that very special project, Catholic Man of the Year. That's coming up again on what date?
March 24th.
March 24th. If people want to be involved with that, even if it's just to come and look or to order a dinner or a table, how would they go about doing that?
Well, there's two sites that they can go to, stjosephradio.net, and that's saint spelled out, S-A-I-N-T, josephradio.net, or they can go to OC, Orange County, Catholic, C-A-T-H-O-L-I-C, .org.
And that, of course,
Orange County Catholic Man.
Orange County Catholic Man.
.org.
So going to either one of those websites, they'd be able to link in to
Man of the Year
mm-hmm. and be able
and
to.
And it will say, you know, registration or reservations for dinner or, you know, whatever. You can buy a single reservation and just tell us what table you'd like to sit at. You know this man, you want to sit near him. We can do that.
Now, you've also got a website just a regular St. Mm-hmm. Joseph Radio website.
And now we're doing
on there? Oh, you're doing podcasts off of that,
yes,
too.
Yes, we're also doing podcasts. And it's, again, S-A-I-N-T, josephradio.net.
And if they need to get more information for either one, either
yes,
for some reason
May
they're
6th.
In St. Louis, mm-hmm. or if they wanted to do the one here in the Diocese of Orange, they can find it off.
On the mm-hmm. website, on the homepage, you'll have a link to Orange County Man of the Year or St. Louis Man of the Year.
You've come a long way since cassettes, that's for
sure. Oh, my goodness, yes.
And I want to thank you very, very much, both of you, for coming on. Let's end with a brief word of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for the effort and energy that you've inspired in the people that have been involved with St. Joseph Radio and St. Joseph Evangelization Network now. With all of the recognitions that have come to inspire, especially in this event that's come up with Catholic Man of the Year. We ask you, Lord, to be with all of us, that we would continue to be your hands and feet, arms and legs, and your voice, so that we bring a little bit of you to each one around us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
Son
and to the Holy
Spirit.
As it was in the beginning is now, and ever shall be,
world without end.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lou Cortese and Sheila Bine-Gessner, thank you so much for being on with me today.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick, for having us.
And it has been a pleasure to have you and to have all of you listening. In behalf of all the people here at Orange County Catholic Radio, including our technical director who has been involved with this for quite some time, Jim, we thank you and we'll see you again next week.
Chart-topping worship vocalist Matt Maher will perform at Christ Cathedral on February 10th as part of his Echoes of Worship tour. Don't miss Matt Maher performing at one of the most incredible, beautiful, and inspiring locations in the country, Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Get your tickets today at transparentproductions.com. That's transparentproductions.com.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
When you talk about something that you enjoyed, say, last weekend when you went to a movie,
Dr. Scott Hahn,
and you were surprised by how good it was, or you went to a restaurant and you tried a new dish, nobody is going to say to you at the water cooler on Monday morning, who are you to impose your culinary taste on the rest of us, or shoving your theater down our throats, because that's what friends do. They expect that sort of thing, and it actually deepens friendship even at the workplace or at home. And I think that's the challenge of the new evangelization, not to manipulate friendship to kind of get converts, but to deepen friendship just by simply doing what friends do, and that is sharing what in life you enjoy the most. And you can say, you know, I grew up Catholic, but I think I took it for granted almost all of my life. But lately, it is just becoming something I enjoy. Now, people might not say, oh, preach it, sister, you know, but they might ask you out for lunch later on in the week and just, you know, begin probing you about what difference it made.
Keeping you energized to evangelize. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
Dr. Thatcher is a retired physician. He's the founder of the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy. He's traveled the planet spreading the message of divine mercy.
Can I jump in one other thought, though, that really is important for me in my heart? I have seen, as I've traveled all over the world spreading divine mercy, I have seen the power of Catholic radio. When I go out and talk, it may be to 50 people, it may be to 100 or 200, but you can reach thousands at any one time and really change the world. And I cannot emphasize to people enough the importance of Catholic radio, Catholic formation, understanding the faith, helping people as you do to live their faith. And I would ask people, give what they can to Relevant Radio to keep this thing going.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation, 1-877-291-0123, or donate online at relevantradio.com.